help us indeed tonight to learn more about what it means to be a servant. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. A man told his doctor that he wasn't able to do all the things around the house that he once did. When the examination was complete, he said, "Now, doc, I can take it. Tell me in plain English what is wrong with me." "Well, in plain English," the doctor replied, "you're just lazy." "Okay," said the man, "now give me the medical terms so I can tell my wife." Jesus talked to his disciples on several occasions about the importance of being a servant, of serving others in his name. He talked about servanthood. He modeled servanthood. Our gospel lesson tonight tells us that Jesus demonstrated the message of servanthood by performing the role of a servant. One of the roles of a servant in those days was to wash people's feet when they came in from outside. And so the streets were dusty and dirty, and the feet of the guests would come in, the feet of the guests would be dirty when they came in off the streets. Even though they may have already washed beforehand, their feet still got dirty. It was unthinkable for the man of the house at that time to wash anyone's feet. Sometimes, every once in a while, the woman of the house did that. But most often that was reserved for the servant to do. So when Jesus took the towel and began to wash their feet, you can imagine the horror in the eyes of the disciples and their feeling of humiliation at the fact that Jesus was washing their feet. While the disciples may not have been lazy, did it ever occur to you that none of them even thought about the idea of washing Jesus' feet? Here was their Lord and Master, yet it never occurred to them to do this menial task. I believe there are some in the body of Christ who think that the role of the church is to serve them. There are some that think that the work of the church just somehow magically gets done. They have no concept that they are to practice servanthood in how they serve their church, their fellow Christians, and the world. Sometimes it's easy to think that there are menial tasks in the church that are just beneath us or that we are beyond doing. Sometimes we're just lazy when it comes to servanthood. We don't feel like serving others. We don't feel like giving up our time or our schedules to serve our brothers and sisters. We have our own lives and we don't want anything to encroach upon our set schedules and desires. Jesus was saying by his actions in the foot washing, "Your fellow Christians are vitally important to my church, and I need you to serve one another and to try to help one another as much as you can." The other side of this coin is that we also should be willing to receive service from our brothers and sisters. Now, for some, that's a hard thing to do, because we always feel like that if we receive something from someone, we are beholden to them. We are somehow in their debt. We somehow owe them something. We have to try to repay them for that. But that's not what Christian servanthood is. In fact, Christian servanthood really is seeking to give to someone else without expecting to receive anything in return. We simply do it out of love for our Savior and a desire to help our brothers and sisters. When Peter declined Jesus' offer to wash his feet, Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Then Peter said, "In that case, wash my whole body." Jesus said to Peter, "He who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, for he is clean all over." Jesus is speaking not just of an outward cleanliness, but he's talking about being cleansed inside. A preferable interpretation of this verse is that once we receive salvation, we are clean inside. After that, all one needs is confession of sins the continual application of Jesus' death to cleanse one's daily sins. When Jesus added that not everyone of you is clean, he was referring to Judas. This suggests that Judas was not converted. When we are converted by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and trusting in Him as our Savior, we become clean before God. However, while we are on this earth, we still get dirty when we sin. That sin is like the dust that covered the feet of the disciples. It could easily be cleaned by confessing our sins to Jesus and having Him wash our sins away by receiving His forgiveness. If Jesus, who was God in human flesh, was willing to humble Himself and serve others, wouldn't it make sense that His followers would want to do the same? There are a number of ways that we can serve others. We can do a task for them that they might normally do themselves. For example, Martha Henderson sometimes picks up the angel food for someone who has ordered it and wasn't able to be here to pick it up so that they can go to her house later on and pick it up. We can serve others by giving of our time to help them out with a project or a ministry. Many people in our church gave up their time to come and serve at our work party last week. We can serve others by spending time with them as a friend. Sometimes people just need a listening ear. Perhaps one of the best ways that we can serve others is by encouraging them, lifting them up, and speaking to them words of faith. There was a teacher in New York who decided to honor each of her seniors in high school by telling them the difference that each of them had made. She called each student in front of the class one at a time. First, she told them how each one of them made a difference to her and the class. Then she presented to them, each one of them, a blue ribbon, imprinted with gold letters which read, "Who I am makes a difference." Afterwards, the teacher decided to do a class project to see what kind of impact recognition would have on a community. One of the boys in the class went to a junior executive in a nearby company and honored him for helping him with career planning. He gave him a blue ribbon and put it on his shirt. Then he gave him two extra ribbons and said, "We're doing a class project on recognition, and I'd like you to go out and find someone to honor and give them a blue ribbon." Later that day, the junior executive went in to see his boss, who had a reputation for being a grouchy fellow. He told him that he admired him for being a creative genius. The boss seemed very surprised. The junior executive asked him if he would accept the blue ribbon and give him permission to put it on him. His boss said, "Well, sure." The junior executive took one of the blue ribbons and put it right on the jacket of his boss, right above his heart. And then he asked, offering him the last blue ribbon, "Would you take this extra ribbon and pass it on by honoring someone else? The teenager who gave it to me is doing a class project, and we want to keep this ceremony going to see how it affects people." That night, the boss came home and sat down with his 14-year-old son. He said, "The most incredible thing happened to me today. I was in my office and one of my employees came in and told me he admired me and gave me a blue ribbon for being a creative genius. Imagine, he thinks I'm a creative genius." Then he put a blue ribbon on me and says, "Who I am makes a difference." He gave me a ribbon and asked me to find somebody else to honor. As I was driving home tonight, I started thinking about who I would honor with this ribbon. And I thought about you. I want to honor you. My days are hectic when I come home, and when I come home, I don't pay a lot of attention to you. I yell at you for not making good grades and for your messy bedroom. Somehow tonight, I wanted to sit here and, well, just let you know that you do make a difference to me. Besides your mother, you are the most important person in my life. You're a great kid, and I love you." The startled boy started to sob and sob. He couldn't stop crying. His whole body shook. He looked up at his father and he said through his tears, "Dad, earlier tonight, as I sat in my room, I wrote a letter to you and Mom explaining why I had took my life, and I asked you and Mom to forgive me." I was going to commit suicide tonight after you went to sleep. I just didn't think that you cared at all. The letter is upstairs and I don't think I'll need it after all." His father walked upstairs and found a heartfelt letter full of anguish and pain. This boss went back to work a changed man. He was no longer a grouch, but he made sure that all of his employees know that they made a difference. The junior executive helped many other young people with career planning, one being the boss's son, and never forgot to let them know that they made a difference in his life. In addition, the young man and his classmates learned a valuable lesson. Who you are does make a difference. Jesus said on one occasion, "If you want to be great in my kingdom, learn to be a servant of all." Would you pray that God would show you how to be a better servant of others? Would you pray that He would give you a servant's heart to be sensitive to the ways that you can serve others? If you would pray that prayer, God will bring to you people who need to experience His love, people who need to see Him working through you, people who will benefit from your service to them. Let us pray. Father, it's so easy for us to become self-centered and selfish in our lives because we have so many things going on and so many good things that we think we want to do. And Lord, there are times where we get so wrapped up in our own lives that we forget about those around us. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a heart of servanthood, that we would be willing to serve not only our brothers and sisters in this church, but we might serve others that you would bring into our lives. And in so doing, they may see you shining through our good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We ask this in your name. Amen.